Welcome in to the Pursuit of Manliness podcast, where we are vigorously equipping men to pursue biblical manliness. My name is Jarrett Samuels. I'm the host of the podcast. As always, men, thank you for taking time checking out today's show. If this is your first time here, make sure you visit thepursuitofmanliness.com. When you get a chance, you can find that link in the show notes. That way, you get connected to all things Pursuit of Manliness. You can see what's available in the gear store. You can learn more about our fall men's retreat, things of that nature. Today is a Out in the Garage podcast. That means it is sponsored by Dark Water Woodwork, darkwaterkc.com. Right now, if you visit darkwaterkc.com and you pick up the Out in the Garage beard bundle, you can save 15% off your order by using the coupon code Exodus14, all capital letters. Just put all that together, Exodus14. You can save 15% off your order. While you're there, take a look. There's a lot of good beard care products and more. DarkwaterKC.com. Exodus 14. We're crossing the Red Sea. We made it. Well, sort of. So what happens here is Israel has begun to wander away from Egypt. I don't mean they're lost and they got confused. They're walking away from their life of oppression, their life of slavery. God says, you will be a nation, you will be a people, you will be set apart for me. The other nations on the earth are going to see that I am your God. They're going to notice there's something different about you. Man, that sounds really good. Until you deal with adversity. I've said a number of times, when you came to Christ, if someone said to you, your life will be better, everyone will like you, you'll be more successful at your job, you can name it and claim it, you have been deceived. You should read the stories of people who walk with God. There's tremendous blessings, and you guys who walk with him know this. There is also great adversity. The evil one, while he knows you're in Christ and he can't do anything to you, he will do all that he can to try to trip you up, divide, defeat, frustrate, everything. You don't believe me? Join a church. You'll find out pretty quickly all the little tensions and things, because he wants to disrupt the unity of believers. That's what happens with here at the nation of Israel. So what happens here, it says in verse 1, the Lord said to Moses, tell the people of Israel to turn back and encamp in front of Phi-Heroth, between Migdal and the sea, in front of Baal-Zephon, and encamp facing it by the sea. For Pharaoh will say to the people of Israel, they are wandering in the land. The wilderness has shut them in. He's going to think, they're lost. They don't know what to do. In reality, they really, in and of themselves, didn't know what to do. That's why God did cloud by day, fire by night. And I will harden Pharaoh's heart, and he will pursue them. Moses is like, well, real quick, what? He will pursue them, and I will get glory over Pharaoh and all his host. Is God getting glory over Pharaoh and all of his host right now, all of his people? Not at all. They're burying their firstborns. They're in misery, crying, weeping. And then another emotion flips. He says, and they shall know that I am the Lord. God's desire was for all the nations on the planet, including Egypt, to know he is God. He is in full control. When the king of Egypt was told that the people had fled, the mind of Pharaoh and his servants was changed toward the people. And they said, what have we done? What were we thinking? That's my words. What is this we have done, that we have let Israel go from serving us? So he made ready his chariot and took his army with him, and took 600 chosen chariots and all the other chariots of Egypt with officers over all of them. The Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, and he pursued the people of Israel while the people of Israel were going out defiantly. They're out. They're high-fiving, hugs, handshakes. Here we go. Let's do this. Wait, do you hear that? There was a sound in my house the other day. It's like when air gets in your plumbing. It's like a da-da-da-da-da. That's my 2 cents worth unprofessional sound effect. If you guys know plumbing, you know what I'm talking about. And everyone's, I was like, stop. I'm trying to figure out where this is. I didn't know what it was. I had to Google it. I figured out what it was. But I said, you know, I'm hearing it, and you know, I'm trying to, this is what's going on. They're like, stop. Shh. Do you hear that? Well, the Egyptians are pursuing the Israelites. They said, oh, we're taking them back home. They're coming back. What were we thinking? How quickly they have gotten over, evidently, the burying, the death of their firstborn. They said, okay, we're going to get them. We're going to get them. The Egyptians pursued them. All Pharaoh's horses and chariots and his horsemen and his army overtook them and encamped at the sea. He said, it's go time. The text makes it evident Pharaoh is within striking distance. When Pharaoh drew near, the people of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians were marching after them. And they feared greatly. What can't can't the Israelites just use all their chariots and stuff? They have nothing. They have nothing but their feet and what they plundered from the Egyptians and their babies. Like, they don't have a lot. This is what the people did. They cried out to the Lord. Not a bad idea. Not a bad idea to cry out to God and say, okay, God, I need you to be God. I need you to do something here. Here's the problem. They said to Moses, is it because there are no graves in Egypt that you've taken us away to die in the wilderness? Yes, that's the reason. I just wish Moses would go, that was the reason. God told me there were not enough graves in Egypt, so we're going to put you out in the wilderness, and you're all fixing on dying here. We have a lot more room out here in the desert to bury you guys. That was the reason. We hope you wouldn't find out that so soon, but here we are 17 minutes later, and you've already cracked the code. Fascinating. No. Said it would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in the wilderness. It would have been better for us just to stay in Egypt. That's our prayer. Like, when someone gives their life to Christ, get ready. Satan is going to do all he can to frustrate you. He's going to do all he can to try to get you to go back to your old way of living. I remember the first year of our retreat, we had three guys that got baptized. Rob, Chad, and TJ. They all came forward. They said, we're in. We want to do this. And it was pretty cool. We had this kind of brotherhood together, and you hope that that would stay, but it's not always the case. But you want them to say, hey, this is a shared experience. And I remember the worship was incredible. We had this moment of confession in the water and clapping and hugging and all this stuff. But I remember telling them in the back, y'all be ready now. Satan is going to do all he can to defeat you, to distract you, to destroy you, to get you off this path. He's going to do all he can to get you away from a brotherhood, all he can do to create tension between you and your bride or you and your kids or you and whatever. He'll do all he can. He will do all that he can. And you'll say, you know what? Life was maybe just a little bit easier, maybe a little bit more fun before I gave my life to Christ. That's indicative of a person that doesn't fully grasp what they've started here. When you put your hand to the plow, don't look back. You keep going. You work and keep what's been entrusted to you. Sometimes working and keeping and the tilling and the grinding and the going after it, oh, it's exhausting, but it's worth it. It's worth it. It's like marriage. It's worth it, man. Been married for 22 years now, 22 years this year, and you had 22 different years of marriage. It's absolutely worth it to the same woman. I hope I get 40, 50 more. I mean, it's great. Same with raising your kids. Every year's a little different. Every day is different. I got teenage daughters. Every day is different, okay? Man. But it's worth it. You got to believe it's worth it. Well, they don't believe it's worth it yet. They haven't been out long enough. They didn't even have a sleepover yet. And they don't even know. I don't know if this is going to be worth it. And I said, it'd be better if we go back. Moses said to the people, fear not, stand firm. Man, sometimes in life, you just need someone to tell you the truth. Sometimes in life, someone needs to tell you, suck it up. Oh, I don't like that. I'm going to tell you right now, I know a lot of guys that would not be able to handle that if someone looked them in the eyes and said, listen, I hear you. And believe me, I see the problem. I'm well aware of it. You need to just suck it up for a second. Some guys can't handle that talk. You just can't handle it. You'd fold. You'd pout. I've seen it. Moses said, fear not, stand firm. He said, stop it. Stop it right now. Stop. Stop the moaning. Stop the crying. Stop the irrational ideas of, yes, that was the reason. None of graves. And see the salvation of the Lord. Man, what are you looking at? What's the illustration? David didn't see Goliath. He saw how big his God is. Yeah, that's all great until there's a Goliath in front of you. That plays really well on a Facebook meme. It doesn't play as well when you're sitting in the HR meeting or you're outside your HOA gathering or your kid comes home and tells you something that happened. It's great on Facebook. It's a lot harder to live it out. He said, see the salvation of the Lord. He will work for you today. Listen, guys, God hasn't stopped working for us. But he isn't in the business of just giving us what we want like some cosmic genie. God is in the business of his glory being on display so that other people see it and they are changed by it. So when you go through stuff, you know, I am anticipating God's glory to be on display. He may move the chariots. He may end us right here. I don't know. But I'm trusting that he is God and he will make the best decision in this scenario. And doggone if that ain't hard. That is a real challenge at times to say, all right, I'm trusting the Lord. I'm going to lean not on my own understanding. In all my ways, in all my days, in all the situations, I will trust him that he will direct my path straight. We got a body of water over here. We're not good swimmers because we've been making bricks for our whole lives. We got a body of water over here, and we got an army over here. we're caught between a rock and an angry thing. Like, I don't know what to do here. He says in verse 14, the Lord will fight for you. You only have to be silent. This isn't about being mute. What he's telling him is stop complaining. Set your heart toward the Lord. I should say, when he told him to stand firm and suck it up, he says, for the Egyptians whom you see today, you'll never see again. They're like, yeah, because we're going to be dead. That's why we're never going to see him again, because we're going to die. They're either going to kill us or drag us back to Egypt. He said, the Lord will fight for you. You only have to be silent. Lord says to Moses, hey, why are you crying out to me? You have a staff in your hand. Use it. I got a Bible in my hand. Use it. Use it. Certain things as men, we rarely leave the house without. I got a thing of coffee over here. I got stuff all around me that I rarely, if ever, leave the house without it. He said, you got a Bible. He said it to you and I. Use it. Word of the Lord, the belt of truth, breastplate of righteousness, feet fitted with the readiness of the gospel of peace, the helmet of salvation, the shield of faith, the sword of the Spirit. He says, use it. God, do something. He said, you do something. Moses said, stop complaining, stop whining, stop being irrational. You want to see the true character of someone? Wait till their character is tested when you have the opportunity to be irrational. In 2020, there were more people being irrational than I've ever seen in my time on this planet. I would read your social media posts. I would read your emails. I'd see the text message. I'd see the comments on Facebook. And I thought, you are irrational. But I couldn't tell you that. In the early days of COVID, and so, I felt like it was my job to kind of implore people, like, hey, come on now, come on now. And it was about early May that I said, not my job. Irrational people thrive on being irrational. Their character was tested, so they acted in really stupid, divisive ways. And I would say most of them would say, no, that was the right thing to do. Uh-huh, right. He said, you only have to be silent. The Lord's going to fight for you. God tells Moses, and the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord. Remember, he's in the business of his glory being on display. In verse 18, and when I have gotten glory over Pharaoh and his chariots and his horsemen, he said, they'll know. They'll know. Then the angel of God, who was going before the host of Israel, moved and went behind them, and the pillar of cloud moved from before them and stood behind them. God makes a wall, a division between Pharaoh and his people and God's people. Because his heart was hardened. He wanted to destroy God's people. He wanted to enslave them. God says, there is an invisible wall here. Do you ever pray that? God, put a hedge of protection around us. God, put that invisible wall between us and them. And you hear stories occasionally of things that happen. I've heard of like missionary stories where people are like, man, you had these giant guards outside your house last night. We were too intimidated. They're like, I have nobody outside my house. God put somebody there. We don't know how it happened. Like, God will watch over his people. That doesn't mean he keeps us from every bit of harm that happens, but God will watch over his people. Psalm 91 is a psalm you need to read a lot. A lot. You need to read. It's just a great image. In 2020, I remember quoting that and trying to share that. And again, irrational people who thrive on fear, they're going to do that. Irrational people who think you should be just as irrational as them and your response has to look like their response, they're not concerned about scripture except for maybe the verse on, don't cause your brother to stumble. Yeah, read the rest of the book. Read the rest of the book. He said, it was coming between the host of Egypt and the host of Israel, and there was a cloud and darkness, and it lit up the night without one coming near the other all night. A hedge of protection. God said, don't mess with my people. Don't mess with my people. Pharaoh's like, I'm not concerned about God. God says, I'm well aware of that. And what we're fixing on doing, if all the other things didn't get you, this will. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say to the Lord, my refuge, my fortress, my God in whom I trust. A man can only have one refuge. He can only have one dwelling place. It better be with God. Verse 7 of Psalm 91, 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near to you. Verse 9, because you have made the Lord your dwelling place, the Most High, who is my refuge. No evil shall be allowed to befall you. No plague come near your tent, your house, your backyard, your family. Do you believe that? For he will command his angels concerning you and guard you in all your ways. This is what God's doing in the nation of Israel. This is what God does throughout Scripture. It's what God did to the apostles. It's what God did to the early church. It's what God's still doing today. But be his people. He's not your insurance plan. He's not your fireman saving you from the fiery pit of hell. He is God. He is the Almighty, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and end. His plan will succeed. I want to be in line with his plan. I want to be in line with his will. Getting a little fired up. It's almost lunchtime. Moses stretched over his hand over the sea, and the Lord drove back the sea by a strong east wind at night and made the sea dry land. The waters were divided, and the people of Israel went into the midst of the sea on dry ground, the waters being a wall to them on their right and to the left. Okay, this is where the Red Sea is divided. You ever stood at the, like, I grew up not on the Mississippi River, but a town that is on the Mississippi River. So, you know, the mighty Mississippi, like, it ain't nothing to play with. And you step into it, you feel the current pretty quickly. The ocean, wherever, like in the Mississippi, I didn't know what I was going to, I mean, you might have a body, you might have a, you know, driftwood, you might have whatever, like you respect the water. I don't know if the Israelites have any familiarity with water, but somebody has to go first. Somebody has to step in. When this sea opens up, I don't know what it sounded like. I don't know what it looked like. I can't comprehend what it would even feel like to begin to walk across the floor of the sea as a family. And I will say this, when I don't have my wife and kids with me, I am far more courageous than when they are with me. When they are with me, I am far more cautious because I'm their protector. I take that role very seriously. When I'm by myself, it's a little bit different. You'll figure it out. These are people with their family, and they got to cross that sea. So God said, you either cross the sea, or if you go the other way, you will be in bad shape. They said, we'll cross the sea. Somebody had to go first. Somebody had to step into that and go, okay, I'm trusting that this water stays back. Like, you ever had water really hit you? That force of water is unbelievable. When the Mississippi come out of its banks, you know, which would happen from time to time, but like 1993, it was unreal. The power of water. You see this all across the globe, especially you guys that live in the southern part of the country, like Louisiana, you get it like once a year, twice a year, three times a year. The power of water is unbelievable. So the people had to trust this water is going to stay back. It's a phenomenon they had never seen, and they will never see it again. But there was a purpose. You're going to go. And as they began to go, the Egyptians said, wait a minute, they're going. Let's go get them. So they started to go as well. And as they go, after Israel, somehow 2 million people, I don't know how, I mean, what would that look like, sound like, and again, feel like, they get across, then Egypt, it must be, okay, oh, whoa, what's going on here? Now they can see, now they can go, and the Egyptians begin to go, and the water is going to consume them. It was clogging their chariot wheels so that they drove heavily. And the Egyptians said, let us flee before the Lord, for the Lord fights for them and against the Egyptians. No kidding. No kidding. You didn't get that for the last number of plagues? God is fighting for Egypt. You didn't get that when you left home and you told your wife, I'll be right back. I'm sorry, our son died, but we're going to go get the Israelites. They didn't understand that. We need to be careful that we're not like the Egyptians. That we're not missing all the obvious signs that God has showed us, like, I'm for this, I'm against this. This is good, this is bad. This brings me glory, this brings me anger. We need to be careful that we're not so naive like the Egyptians that we think, no, we just do whatever we want to do and there will be no consequences. Yes, there were consequences. Not only would their wives have to bury their firstborn, they were now going to lose their husband too. And maybe their other sons. Like, we don't know who's all enlisted into this army to go after the Egyptians, but there were some women that night who lost a lot. They lost their son and probably their husband and maybe another son. I don't know. You talk about being distraught. I can't imagine. I can't imagine what that would be like. I wonder if anyone in Egypt said, we should consider the God of the Israelites. We need to find out a little bit more about him. Lord said to Moses, stretch out your hand over the sea, that the water may come back upon the Egyptians, upon their chariots and their horsemen. So he did it. I want to begin to wrap up with verse 29 here. But the people of Israel walked on dry ground through the sea, the waters being a wall to them to the right and on their left. Thus the Lord saved Israel from that day from the hand of the Egyptians, and Israel saw the Egyptians dead on the seashore. There are things in Scripture that I cannot comprehend. I've said before, I can't comprehend what it would have been like for Noah to come out of the boat. I can't comprehend what it's like for Jonah to sit in the belly of a fish and then complain about a city who repents. I can't comprehend what it's like standing in the fiery furnace with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and there's a fourth person. I can't comprehend Daniel in the lion's den. Like, there's certain things I think. I can't comprehend the guy falling out of a window while Paul's preaching. I can't comprehend Philip sharing to the Ethiopian eunuch the gospel and then gone after the guy's baptized. I can't explain that. And to the cynic who says, well, if you can't explain that, then I won't believe in it. I don't tell you. I'm not skilled enough to explain that. But I'm telling you, our God is an awesome God. He is an incredible God, and he fights for his glory. He fights for people who honor him. He fights for those who pursue him. It says, Moses said, the Lord will fight for you. You have to only be silent. Sometimes, men, we just need to be quiet for a minute. And I don't mean that quiet, pouty quiet where you want someone to ask you what's wrong. I mean quiet before the Lord and say, this seems unfair. This is frustrating. This makes me angry. This seems overwhelming. This is daunting. This is too heavy for me to carry this. God, I'm trusting that what you did in Exodus chapter 14, verse 14, I think you could do that for me. I'm trusting that you're the same God who fought for the nation of Israel. You can do this. Or God, you can bring me through this. But brother, I want you to hear this. We still have to do something. They didn't sit on the shore and wait for God to wipe out the Egyptians. They had to step into that Red Sea. They had to step on that ground. I don't know if it's muddy. I don't know if there's fish flopping around. I don't know if it's like plexiglass and you're walking through the tunnel like you're at a Bass Pro Shop or, you know, some Aqua World. I don't know. I don't know what that would have been like. I can't even fathom it. But he did it. And if he did it for them, he can do something for you. He may part the sea for you. It may be so obvious you say, that's the route. That's where we go. It might be something where you got to step out in faith and say, I'm going to step out on into this muddy ground that was the seafloor. I'm going to step into it. It makes no sense. Or it might be that you need to stop looking at the enemy that you feel like is pursuing you and see the salvation. I need to look, as Moses said, fear not, stand firm, and see the salvation of the Lord. God, I'm trusting that you are God. I'm trusting you're on your throne, and I'm trusting that you're in charge of all circumstances, all seasons. You are a God who declares the end from the beginning, and I'm trusting the end will be far greater than the beginning. Amen. I would encourage you, if you got it in you, read Exodus 14. Hope you're following along. It's a powerful, powerful chapter. And men, appreciate you listening. Appreciate you sharing the show, subscriptions, feedback. Man, it's all good. We're just trying to build community here. Speaking of that, for you men in the herd, I want to unpack just a couple things. Verse 31. We'll continue that conversation in the herd.